My two favorite words in the world is uttered by the great Alvin DeLauro. You're on. Love it. I am on. And I'm live. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California, broadcasting from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. Okay, now, telephone number is toll-free. I am efforting Jalen Johnson, who I've had on the program before, and I'm going to do so again. Really looking forward to that conversation. He is a DB with the Chicago Bears. Not just a DB, but their number one corner. That's coming up momentarily. Also coming up this hour, another guy that I love talking to, Darius Butler, co-host of the Man to Man Pod. In fact, my man Darius Butler, big head, and I talk about it quite a bit. He's one of us. He likes to gamble. He plays the lines. We're into it. Dennis Dodd coming up top of hour number three. Phone lines are open right now. 1-800-636-8686. Lots of reaction. So normally when I have that split between hour one and hour two, it's kind of a reset. I can reset myself, reset the hour, reset the show, reset for the audience because some of the audience goes, some of the audience comes on. Or some of you just keep beating that same dead horse. Brian Dino tweets, "Come on, Kemp. How hard is it to practice someone's name a few times?" Signed, John Travolta.
"There will always be a special place in my heart for the movie musical and for the songs that create their most memorable moments. Here to perform the Oscar-nominated, gorgeously empowering song, Let It Go, from the Oscar-winning animated movie Frozen, please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem."
Key phrase here.
Jonas Descali.
Let it go. This is what I said. The two things that you clones or ghouls love most: weight gain, mispronunciation.
Adele Dazeem.
And prawn or Sean may have had both those things. I knew the second I saw that. Oh, hell no. Like, it used to be back in the day when I did this show, I wanted you to think. Okay, keep in mind, this is way, way, way back in the day. Back in the day before there was an internet. For real. Back in the day, way back in the day, when there weren't all these ways to get information as quickly as we get it right now, I used to want you to think. Man, I want to hear what Rome's going to say about that tomorrow. Because then you had to lock it in. You had to find me on the radio. You had to find me on TV. That was a good thing. Now when I see something like that, I see Sean Kemp in a shirt where they did him all wrong, did him dirty by giving him a shirt way too small and then giving him a hard name to pronounce. I knew. I did not think to myself, oh man, I can't wait for them to think, what's Rome going to say? Because we already know what Rome's going to say. Rome's going to say, do better. And you're going to say what you're going to say. It's all backwards, man. It's upside down. I'm wasting my breath is what I'm saying. Let's see. Jeff in Green Bay, quote, "The Kraken. Looks like somebody was cracking open a tub of ice cream." Or six.
"Release the Kraken."
Let's play. All right, I'll play along. Let's see how stupid you can get with these jokes. "Kraken open a tub of ice cream." Or six. Listen, maybe you're not old enough, or maybe you're not smart enough. When I close my eyes, like I think for a second, Sean Kemp. That's not the association I have. I'll tell you what I think. I think of a teenager in the NBA. My man was insane. Running the floor, getting up and down, finishing, literally jumping out of the gym. Like crazy physical gifts. And him running with the glove, man. That's what I think of. But that's just me. 1 for 3, C1. Quote, "War Sean Kemp being inducted into the Golden Corral Onion Ring of Honor." Yeah, it's funny, Carl. I doubt anything like that actually exists. Hey, Rit, does it? You'd be in. Onion rings. Sugar. The old man's going on vacation. Guess I will, too. Ryan in Sacktown. "There's nothing wrong with schmedium shirts. Regards, the new guy producer, Tom. It's a different culture, man. He's fitting in. He knew. The new guy, actually, to his credit, and I did not ask him to, I did not discuss it with him. He said to me on his first day, hey, yo, boss, you know, did a little shopping yesterday. I know I got to step my game up. I'm like, good for you, new guy producer, Tom. You don't have to do that. What he didn't say was, I looked around the room and I noticed that you were all wearing schmediums. So that's what I did. We didn't have that conversation. There are guys that fit in and there are guys that don't. There are those who understand there's a certain way of doing things, and then there are those who don't. There's a certain culture. And there are guys that push back on the culture. We had a cat once. This guy was so good. Like serious energy. Wanted it badly. But my man is rocking a tie every single day. And not writ once a week when we ran the board. Rocking a tie every single day. And I'm like, Broham, you got to stop wearing that tie. Nope. Dress for success. Dress for the job you don't have. Yeah, but you have a job. And none of us wear ties. Yeah, well, I'm going to wear mine. Hey, look, man, I don't want to ask you to do something or be something you're not, but you got to understand the culture, right? There's a way of doing things around here. We don't wear ties. Yep, I'm wearing mine. All right, more on that when we come back. As promised, we are joined right now by a cornerback for the Chicago Bears. Coming off a big year last year, he had 42 tackles. He had 15 passes broken up in 13 games. He was fourth in the NFC in passes broken up. First Bears rookie to start week one at corner since 1996. He was an All-American. He was a two-time All-Pac-12 player at Utah. He was the 50th pick overall in 2020. He is the pride of Fresno. They open up their season at the Rams, September 12th. I'm talking about Jalen Johnson. Jalen, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Good. So you and I spoke last year in the middle of that X1 rookie season. Now you're getting ready for your second year. How much different does it feel coming into this season with that year of NFL play under your belt?
I mean, it feels really different. You know what to expect now. So, I mean, just having that year under your belt, you just have a better feel for the game mentally, physically, just what the process is going to be like going through season, what the game weeks look like, just how to prepare. So just your confidence and your mind is at an all-time ease versus last year going into it, trying to figure everything out. So, I mean, I'm feeling really good. Body's feeling good. Mind is prepared. So, I mean, just a whole different feel, honestly.
My man, this is exactly the way you sounded when you and I spoke last year, talking about mind and body. I respect that a lot. Jalen Johnson joining us. You know, to give you an idea, or the listeners an idea of what kind of a year you had, in the offseason, the team released Kyle Fuller, which means that you're now the number one cornerback on that team. It says a lot about what you did as a rookie and how quickly you've established yourself. What does that honor mean to you? And then how did you go about approaching this season as a result of that and that increased responsibility?
I mean, honestly, I don't know how I honestly felt about Kyle leaving. I feel like it was some things that went on. I don't think it was as clear-cut as, okay, we want Jalen to be number one. But, I mean, I feel like it just ended up being put onto me once some things couldn't happen a certain way, and they ended up making that decision to let him go. So, I mean, it's just about stepping into that responsibility. But, I mean, definitely he was a big-time player for the Bears for many years and somebody that I looked up to. And somebody that I feel confident to be able to play alongside of. So, I mean, now it's honestly just being able to take everything that he taught me just from professionalism, just from being able to prepare the right way, take care of your body, just a lot of those things that he had taught me now is just going to be more enhanced and more important than ever, being that I now have to be that number one guy as he was. So, I mean, for me, it's just about being able to go out there and play and be consistent as he was.
Jalen Johnson, my guest, you know, you're saying the types of things that guys normally say. Well, for instance, some guys never actually figure it out. You're saying, though, things that I hear from guys who have been in the league several years. You're now in your second year, as I mentioned. Like, when you look back on last season, what was the transition from college to the NFL like? For instance, it's supposed to be really tough. You made it look relatively easy. I know you're going to tell me, look, it was not easy. But what was that transition like? And was it easy on any level for you?
I mean, for me, honestly, it was more mental and being able to really be locked in consistently. Because, I mean, from a physical standpoint, honestly, didn't feel too big of a difference. And, I mean, honestly, the times where I feel like I did get beat, it was always my fault. I don't think it was really too many times where I got beat. And I was like, okay, that was just a great play. But I knew right when something happened, I was like, okay, I should have did this. Or I knew it was coming. I didn't trust it. So, I mean, honestly, for me, it's just about being consistent and trying to play at an A level all the time and not go from an A to a B to a C back to an A. It was just always about being consistently at a high level. So, I mean, for me, it's just being able to get to a mental point to where you're really consistent in your technique, really consistent in your reads, and being able to know what the offense is doing and things like that, just being more consistent and fine-tuned in everything that I'm doing.
Jalen Johnson joining us. So, again, we're talking mindset. Like, one of the things you and I talked about when you came on last year was your mental approach and how you work at that. You were talking about how one of your favorite books was by Tim Grover. Grover's got a new book out, which is amazing. I like it even better than the book that you and I talked about, his new book. But what about mindset? Like, how would you describe your mindset when it comes to being great? What is the thing that drives you and motivates you?
I've just always wanted to be the best every time I played, every time I stepped on the field. That was just something that I wanted to do, just have my respect and just be able to win. But I mean, now I got a lot of different factors from my daughter, my family, just being able to change the dynamics of the city of Fresno, like you were mentioning earlier in my introduction, just being able to change the culture of things, being able to change young kids' lives. So, I mean, I know that there's a lot of things that I could, that I can change with this game of football and hopefully get into the second contract. It'll be life-changing for not just me and my family, but other kids and other people that I can reach as well. So, I mean, it's just about being able to help out my loved ones and help out my city as best I can.
I want to remind you all that Jalen Johnson is in his second year in the NFL. You know, this whole thing about I got to get to that second contract and I want to be able to change lives and I want to help out my family. You know, of course, your city as well. But this is interesting. You told the Bears official website last season, quote, "All my checks have been going to a distant account. I haven't touched any of my NFL money," end of quote. I love that approach. So where did that philosophy come from? And have you allowed yourself to touch any of that NFL money now that you made it to the offseason?
That approach just came from the aspect of not being greedy. I mean, I didn't need too much. I mean, for me, I've never had the money to go out and just buy all the fancy clothes and things like that. So, I mean, when I got to NFL, that just wasn't something I was focused on. I'd rather have prepared for the NFL, prepared instead of going out and spending money on clothes. I was just focused more on playing ball and let the pregame outfits come later on. So, I mean, I'd rather have looked good during the game than before the game. So, I mean, I didn't really care too much about spending too much money. So, I mean, I just kind of lived off as much marketing money as I was able to make during season. And then I actually did end up having to use some just because my marketing numbers weren't as what I thought they were going to be. So, I mean, I just, of course, had to make some decisions to keep being able to live. But, I mean, some things have changed on that side. I mean, definitely having more opportunities and being able to stretch that back, stretch the marketing money back out. So, I mean, it's just about what's best for the situation at that time. And during season, I didn't have to use that money. So, I mean, now I'm just getting back to hopefully not having to touch that money.
Oh, man. I love that notion also that I'm trying to look good during the game and not before the game. And, of course, the rest will take care of itself. I did mention Fresno at the very top, and I love the fact that you rep Fresno. I love Central Cali, Fresno, Bakersfield, those parts of the state. What's it mean to you to be from Fresno? In fact, Jalen, for those who don't know, what was it like to grow up in Fresno? And then I'm really curious, what's it like now to live and work in Chicago?
I mean, Fresno, it can be, depending on what side of the line you're on in Fresno, it can
right.
be a good life, or it can be the not so good life. So, I mean, honestly, it just depends on what you allow yourself to get caught up in. Because, I mean, it's definitely a fine line between being able to get out and that come through the city. So, I mean, honestly, it's just about who, if you can just make it out of there, if you can survive your childhood, being able to keep your mind on the right track, not being able to get caught up around the people, around the wrong people, And I mean, there was plenty of times where I was around the wrong people, but it was just about being disciplined and now falling into it. And everybody knew who I was, of course. So it was never like people didn't know what I was after. So, I mean, even then, like it was just about making the right decisions at the end of the day. And sometimes you have to step away from the party. Sometimes you didn't have to go to the party or things like that. So, I mean, it was just about really knowing what you wanted and just being disciplined in every aspect of it. Because if not, then there's plenty of talent that could play in the NBA, could play in the NFL that is now lost on the streets. So, I mean, I just didn't want to be that person. So, I mean, just being able to stay disciplined in on my route to success. And then the city of Chicago is a whole different ball game. I mean, it's bright lights, downtown, city buildings. Like, it's a whole different look, whole different atmosphere of people. And a lot of business ventures come out of Chicago. I mean, they say it's the greatest city in the world. So, I mean, just this year, being forward to being able to open back up, I'm looking forward to being able to experience it and really just feel how great the city really is.
I love that response. And it's long been said, Jalen, you know this already, that if you're a successful athlete in Chicago, that's about as good a town as there is to be a successful athlete. One last thought. I know you're focused on your job and the defense. How much have you seen of Justin Fields so far, and what do you make of what you've seen from him?
I mean, honestly, I don't think too much that everybody else doesn't think. I mean, we all know what he can do physically. He can throw the ball. He can run the ball. He definitely has a great feel. Some of the throws he was making in practice where it's like, okay, that kind of confirmed what we all heard and just different things like that. He definitely can play the game of football. I feel like it's just going to be like for any other rookie, the Herberts last year, the Joe Burrow, just being able to figure it out more on a mental level and learn how to attack, how to approach the game, how to prepare. Just those things going into that first year that just any rookie has to learn. So, I mean, he's definitely going to, when he gets his opportunity, he's definitely going to make plays. But it's just about being able to fine-tune his mental attack and his mental approach to the game.
Jalen Johnson, my guest. My man, I'll say it right to you. I've got great respect for you. I admire you. I appreciate we have a relationship. And I like having you on this show. I appreciate that very much, Jalen. Great to have you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You have a great day, man. Thank you very much. I think he's special. And I'll just say it. I think that guy's special. I think he's different. I think he's special. I think his mindset's unbelievable for a guy that age. I love his game. Think about what they're asking him. You know, he said, I don't really know what went down with Kyle Fuller. I don't know how that went down. But you're asking a guy who's in his second year to be your number one corner. I already mentioned that it was the first time since 96 that they had a rookie at that position there. And now he is their number one. And there's no way you ask somebody like that at that age with that kind of experience and give somebody like that that kind of responsibility unless they're special. He's different. A tremendous conversation, as always. Really good player. Jalen Johnson of the Bears. And so good to break up that other horrible conversation with a good conversation. That makes me happy. Hey, Jim. Were all those people at the Kraken draft Sean Kemp's kids? See what I mean? Alex in Windsor. You want to talk about an athlete that just came on? A special athlete, an amazing interview. Let me tell you, that guy, and there's talk about this kind of a process. If Jalen were a stock, I would buy as much as I could. I'd hit that thing so hard. I'd go to Carnivore, man. I'd go to my guys, hey, man, can we buy some stock in Jalen? Hit it. He's special. 1-800-636-8686. Anyway, back to that dude who wanted to wear a tie to work every single day. I'm like, you can't do that, man. Yeah, but I have to. You can't do that. I'm not trying to change who you are as a person. I'm not trying to change any of your core values. We don't wear ties. And by the way, we're not even on TV at this point. We're not on TV at this point. We're still just a radio show. There is no simulcast. Yeah, but my dad told me, dress for success. You got to wear a tie every day. I'm like, Broham, I don't know how to tell you this any other way other than to say, you're not trying to fit in. You almost are acting like you're better than us. I don't wear a tie. I'm the host. You're like number four on the totem pole, my man. You got to take that tie off. If you want to rock it once in a while, like look at me. I'm open to it. I let Rit wear his tie. Rit's like, only bald old men who are number nine on the totem pole are allowed to wear ties.
Can't do it, baby.
Mmm. Clip on.
Mmm.
Let me tell you something. I know ties. I've got nice ties. David August ties. Ties that cost me a fortune that never see the light of day. You don't think I want to wear those things every day? Come on, man. There's a culture around here. You just got to kind of at least try to fit in a little bit. A little bit. Man Bandon. Get off my boy, Sean Kemp. His shirt was simply a programmatic non-fit.
It was a programmatic non-fit.
One of my favorite lines ever. Can you name that voice? You know who
that
is.
It was a programmatic non-fit.
Hey, coach, what happened? Why did you cut that player?
It was a programmatic non-fit.
A programmatic non-fit.
It was a programmatic non-fit.
There's football talk, and then there's that. I love Brad Childress.
Programmatic non-fit.
Or at least that line.
It was a programmatic
showing
non-fit.
Up every single day to this job with a tie when none of us are is a programmatic non-fit.
It was a programmatic non-fit.
Quote, hey, Rome, there's a reason why they picked S. Kemp for the expansion draft. Signed C. No, hey, C, you're a programmatic non-fit, bro.
It was a programmatic non-fit.
You really are. Well, how can we all see the same thing and see it differently? For the last time as I go to break, my man is a leader and a legend for playing along. He's a good sport. They gave him a shirt that he knew was not going to fit, and he rocked it so he could rep the bleeping city and the team. When we return, I know I'm doing my job. Now you need to do yours. I've got Darius Butler coming up at 40 past. Speaking of my guys at Carnivore. So exactly who is watching your money? Not your financial advisor, I can tell you that right now. You know where that cat is? On a beach, knocking back a cocktail, while your investments are going right into the tank. Many Wall Street insiders are predicting a correction. So it's your choice. Listen to the same old excuses from that same old advisor or subscribe to Carnivore Trading. See why their picks have already become legendary. Carnivore levels the playing field. They deliver in real time what their experienced traders are thinking right now. I know this. I get their alerts all day long on my phone. Now all of us, from newbies to even experienced traders, have access to their explosive trades. And for the first time, they're going to let you try their service for free. This is your chance to see and mirror Carnivore's explosive trades in real time for free. No obligation. Go to GetOurTrades.com. Use my code ROME. GetOurTrades.com. Promo code ROME. GetOurTrades.com. Promo code ROME. Carnivore Trading, real trades, real time. See the website for terms and conditions. Past performance is no guarantee of future earnings.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Kane, you're a beauty. Big Daddy Kane. Yo, Kane, you know better than that. We don't self-gloss around here. Hey, Alvin, do this for me. I know you're not going to like this. Just do it anyway, son. I want you to add Big Daddy Kane to the group of self-glossers. Just trust me on that. I guess it's coming in the form of a tweet. Anyway, I know that's going to be tough for you. Alvin's giving me like the stink face. Like, oh, how do I do that, dude? Like, I need voice to add to it. I just gave you the voice. How about I recreate this for you? Hey, let's go to Lake Cavanaugh. Hey, Kane, what's going on? Oh, actually, Rome, it's Big Daddy Kane. How's that?
That's not a good call. No. You're
You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
Don't self-gloss. If that makes no sense to you, I don't really care. Every once in a while, it's going to get inside around here. It's better than all of you coming in here and calling a guy fat. I know that.
Fat?
Ryan in Sacktown. This guy, man. Hey, Ryan, you know, you're showing up on my radar for all the wrong reasons. JR, it's our dream to live in Fresno. Regards, Riverside and Bakersfield. I'm not here to crack Baco. I like Baco. One day I will tell you why Baco means so much to me and my family, and it'll blow your mind. Today's not that day. Now, if you're looking for me to defend Riverside, today is also not that day. Notice you've never heard me say 909 for life. Because nobody has. No offense. And I don't want to get on the wrong side of the 909 either. It's the 909, all right? You don't mess with that. I thought Jalen was super thoughtful when he talked about growing up in Fresno. God, I mean, like, why do you get this so twisted? Why do you got to turn that into a Riverside thing or a Bakersfield thing or a Norco thing or a Fontana thing or a Hemet thing? The guy just said, you know, there's a couple of ways you come up when you grow up in Fresno. There's some really good things and some not so good things. And you want to make sure you stay on the right side and make good decisions. And people, I mean, I think that's so interesting. He said there are people on the street that could be in the NFL or the NBA, but they made poor choices or they got caught up or they got sucked in. To me, that's really interesting. Way more interesting than you taking that commentary and turning it into a Riverside joke. But that's just me. Stephen Crowtown, now that the Jalen Johnson interview is over, we can finally get back to the meat and potatoes of the show, which is where I prefer to be. Signed, Sean Kemp. This is nightmare fuel to me. The Kraken have their expansion draft.
Release the Kraken.
I'm watching it with great interest because I'm interested and it's my job. And then I see Sean Kemp and I see an ill-fitting shirt. And I think to myself, oh, hell no. It doesn't matter how hard I work tomorrow. It doesn't matter what I say, what I do, who I interview. These idiots are going to bring me down and wreck my show again. It's going to be all about Prawn Kemp. It's going to be me against the world. And I know it's going to be easy for you to say, hey, Rome, it's your show, man. Aren't you in the Hall of Fame? Control it. Well, I'm trying. I feel like I'm Bruce Lee in Enter the Dragon, where I'm fighting like 100 guys at once, and all I have is a pair of nunchucks. Or like Jason Statham, I was watching Transporter 2 the other night. That guy cracks me up. I love that dude. Jamie in Green Bay. Hey, Rome, great interview with Jalen Johnson. Anyway, did you know that Sean Kemp is fat now?
Fat?
Yeah, Jamie. How could I not know? You and every other idiot on Twitter keeps telling me. Oh, good. The end of the segment. Never been so happy to see it. When we return. Oh, even better. An interview. And a good one. Darius Butler joins me. That's coming up next. If you're on hold, stay there. I will get to your telephone call. I have time for it. First up, here is a bottom of the hour sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. All right, let's not waste any time. Right back at it, rolling through hour number two. We are joined by a 9-year NFL vet, 2017 Walter Payton, Man of the Year for the Colts. First team all-conference player at UConn, 41st pick in 09. Creator and host of the Everything DB Show. It's on YouTube. Co-host of the Man to Man podcast. Good friend of the program. He is Darius Butler. Darius, what's going on? Good to have you back. How are you?
What's up, Jim? Good to be back, man.
Good to have you back. All right, so let me ask you this. Like, back when you were playing, what was this time of year like for you? The last few days before camp, were you fired up to get to work and get in, or were you kind of dreading it like, damn, man, this is all going to start again right now?
You know, some people didn't like training camp. I enjoy training camp, man. It's when you really, you flip that switch as a player, and, you know, it's all about football again. You know, that becomes the main priority. The main thing is the main thing. You've done a bunch of things your off season, probably traveled, done some different things with the family, have made some gains as far as being a player and a professional, and made hopefully a bunch of deposits in this off season, especially this off season when you haven't been around the team and the facility as much. And hopefully you're confident in the work that you put in, and now it's time to start taking those withdrawals out and start putting all your energy towards your craft. So it's fun, man. You're around the guys more. You're around football again. Everybody's excited for football season. I know I am. It seems like more than ever. But it's a fun, exciting time. It's like going back to school.
I actually like that answer a lot. That's like one of those things where I'd say, hey, man, how would you feel about that? And you gave me a much better answer than the question itself. So I appreciate it. Let me ask you about the Rams. I've been trying to get to this, Darius, this week. I haven't, so I'm glad that I got you here to talk about this. They suffered a pretty serious blow when Cam Akers tore his Achilles. I mean, that's gutting for him, to be sure. How big of a blow is that for the team and the offense?
It's a big blow. You definitely saw, his promise last year. He didn't get a huge sample size. He started 5 games, I think played in 12 or 13. But you saw the talent, and you were excited about his future and his role in the offense, especially with the addition of Stafford at quarterback. So I definitely think it's a big blow. But in that system, and with McVay, you can kind of plug in running backs, and that's one of those positions that you can kind of get good production from players that you don't really expect to. From sometimes we see it happen all around the league every year. So I think they'll definitely adjust. And if it's one quarterback in the league that's comfortable playing with a subpar running game, it'll be Stafford. I think he'll be kind of used to that, and he'll have more weapons around him and probably better offensive coaching than he's had his entire career. So I think the Rams will still be all right.
I had to laugh. I'm sorry, I had to laugh. You're right. If there's one quarterback in the league that's used to playing with a subpar running back or a running game that's not above board, it's that guy. He spent his entire career dealing with that in Detroit. You know, when you talk about Stafford, Darius Butler, my guest, like the NFC West was going to be tough no matter what. You and Antoine Bethea had a pretty interesting conversation on the podcast earlier today about who the best quarterback in the NFC West is. As a DB, which quarterback scares you the most in that division?
Yeah, man, we got that question from one of the listeners at the live show this morning. And, at first it gave me a pause, and then I'm like, oh, Russell Wilson. I guess that's an easy answer. And that was my answer, and AB was kind of like, whoa, like you answered that kind of, way too fast. And he kind of was like, what about Stafford and, who he is as a quarterback and a player, and now he's with L.A. and these different things. And but for me, it's Russell Wilson. That's an easy, clear answer for me. I think when it's all said and done, he'll go down as one of the great quarterbacks in this league. Now, if Stafford goes deep into the playoffs and wins the Super Bowl, I think that completely changes the narrative, obviously, going forward. But right now, for me, it'll be Russell Wilson. Honestly, it's probably a toss-up between Jimmy G and Matt Stafford after that for me. Jimmy G's a couple years removed from taking his team to the Super Bowl, obviously missed some big throws. But, he's done it. He's a winner. He showed to be a winner when he's out there. And I just haven't seen that consistently from Stafford. We've definitely seen the talent. And obviously Kyler Murray, he can take another step as well. But right now it's Russ, and then it's a toss-up with Jimmy G and Stafford right behind him.
That's a really interesting response. Darius Butler joining us. All right, you and I have talked in the past about Aaron Rodgers and the situation in Green Bay. Like, we don't know the exact details when it comes to guaranteed money and all of that, but what do you make of that report that he turned down that extension with the Packers?
Yeah, not surprising, at least from the reports. Like you said, I don't feel like we know much. All of us, I would say, collectively don't know much. We know that he has a problem with the GM. And we know that he wants out pretty much. It never really seemed much about the money. Obviously, he's made a ton of money. And usually that's the first thing you go to when it comes to, athletes and business. But, business is about people, too. And you know this. You've been very successful in business. A lot of it is about people, and it's the same way in those locker rooms and in these organizations. And sometimes people and teams and, people can overcome certain situations and relationships, and sometimes they can't. Sometimes guys just have enough. Especially in the environment that we're in now, with sports as a whole. You know, in quarterbacks, and whether it's basketball players, but quarterbacks, you know, they want a certain amount of input and power and respect. And I think Aaron has earned that. And, you know, I'm sure Brian, in his role as a GM, his role isn't really to pacify players and make everyone feel happy and feel great about their job. I'm sure there's a lot of people on that Packers roster who aren't, you know, head over heels about them, some of the moves that they've made. So it's a fine balance that they'll have to figure out. I still think ultimately he's the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers this year, but I don't think it was ever about money. So I wasn't surprised at him, you know, turning that deal down. But at least it shows that Green Bay is trying to do something to get 12 back in that building and put a smile on his face.
Talking to Darius Butler for a few more moments. All right. Also, in terms of quarterbacks, like if you were Sean Payton, let me jump into this. Who would your starting quarterback be in Week One? Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill, and why, Darius?
Yeah, we talked about it. I asked AB, I said, if you were in that locker room, who would you want to be the quarterback? And he gave the same answer I would, and that's Jameis Winston, easily. You know, we've seen him perform high level, low level. We've seen him struggle. We've seen him succeed in the NFL, but we've seen him do it. We've seen his body of work. We saw it in college, you know, undefeated season, national champion, number one overall pick. We've seen him throw for 5,000 yards, 30 picks, 30 touchdowns, but we've seen it. He sat behind Drew Brees. He got LASIK. He's got more experience in the system with Sean Payton. Obviously, Taysom Hill has been there, and he's been kind of a Swiss Army knife. And going into a game, going into training camp, going into a season, if I'm a player in there in my 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th year, and I'm trying to win a championship, I'm going for an all-time great with Drew Brees, I want the passing head guard to be with the guy that I know at least has gone through the hoops, everything but the pregame speech. He leave the pregame speech to somebody else. But as far as being a player, I like his potential going forward with the pieces he has around him. And I think they could be a good football team. Not saying that they couldn't be good with Tatum. I just think it's a much bigger question mark there. And when it's a quarterback competition and a battle going into training camp, going into a season, I just don't think that's ever a good feeling. I know as a teammate, that's not a good feeling. You want to have your guy that you know is going to rally the troops, and we're going to, you know, go into battle with week in and week out.
Dude, he's got everything except the pregame speech.
Everything, oh, man. I love his offseason workout. You know, he competes. He played through a lot of injuries during the end there in Tampa as well. So you know he's a warrior. That's important to have a warrior at the quarterback position. So you know he's that. So I like Jameis, man. I think he's a good kid, and I think he has his head on right, and he works hard, and I think the combination with him and Peyton and sitting behind Drew Brees, sometimes that's important to get that other point of view. You know, you're sitting on the bench, you're in the meeting room, you're behind the starter. He's been a starter for, I'm sure, most of his life. So to get that different experience, sometimes that does wonders for a player.
No, I agree. I love the decision that he made when he did that. He did throw for 5,000 yards, and we'll see. Hey, really quickly, what do you make of Nick Saban saying that Bryce Young, who might be a starting quarterback, is getting somewhere near $1 million in endorsement money? What do you make of that?
I mean, it's great. It's great for the players, obviously. It's obviously great for Alabama recruiting. I mean, that's incredible. And now we're going to be talking about college sports next year, the season going forward. We're going to be talking about who's the highest paid positions in which conference and things going like that. So it's crazy. It's going to be the Wild Wild West. And if my first thought, honestly, was I wonder if somehow, somewhere, this money is funneled right from the boosters or whoever's supporting the programs and saying, hey, this is just another way to recruit better players. We're just going to make sure that they're the highest paid. And if you trace that money, I'm sure – in some of these situations, I'm not saying the Alabama situation, but I'm sure in some of these situations that'll be the case. So it's going to be interesting with the whole nil thing in college, but I'm glad that players are getting a piece of the pie. But it's going to be fun to watch.
I agree with you, by the way. Darius Butler joining us. All right, speaking of basketball, this came up. I had your co-host AB on the show. We talked about the fact that he was hosting that basketball tournament and that you thought that he was good for 6 to 8 points based on hustle plays, setting picks. And AB said, quote, you have a lot of hot takes, a lot of unnecessary takes, a lot of foolish takes, end of quote. My man, how do you respond to that?
You know, I wouldn't say foolish. I wouldn't say unnecessary. Some of them are maybe. I just say them a little bit before a lot of other people say them. But AB's on his high horse right now with hoops. He picked the Bucks at 6, and he was right with that. But if I had to compare AB's game to somebody we just saw in the finals, I would say he's like a Bobby Portis. You know, he's going to bring that energy. He's going to do the dirty work. He's going to hit shots when you need him to. And he's going to be that type of guy. So he'll still have a key to the city. He's a champ. AB's a champ. Man, I love him. Love going back and forth with him on the pod. But we had a lot of fun with that, man. But that was fun, man. Shout out to the Bucks too, man. Congrats to Greek Freak and the Bucks on winning that chip. They shocked the hell out of me.
Darius, let me ask you something. When you look at Giannis, I mean, never mind his great athleticism, what a great dude he is. Explain this to me. Like, how do you take a guy with a major, major weakness like he had, free throw shooting, and have him show up in a closeout game the way he did and knock him down like that? As a great athlete, how do you explain that?
Mindset. And that's an ultimate separator when it comes to, athletes, and not only just athletes, just performers, competitors, and he went to a different zone. And in that closeout game, he smelled blood in the water, and it didn't matter what was going on around him. It didn't matter what was going on in Phoenix. It didn't matter what his teammates that were struggling on offense. He had the mindset that I'm winning this game. I'm going to be the reason we win this game. You're either going to have to stop me or foul me. And then he gets to the line and locks in and goes 90%. I mean, it was one of the more incredible finals performances that I've ever seen. And we started this debate yesterday. I'm like, going into next season, it's hard, even with his deficiencies shooting the ball, you know, at least you see him attempting those shots. We saw in the closeout game in the biggest moment of his life, he was hitting little floaters and little turnaround jumpers and a three-pointer. And, you know, those type of things pay dividends. You see a guy like Ben Simmons who doesn't even attempt those shots. So for him to continue to attempt, and you see the ability that is so much room in his game to grow, and he's only 26, man, it's a scary, scary sight for the rest of the NBA going forward with Giannis. And if he's playing with that mindset, man, it was incredible.
Have some Ben Simmons, but that was not unfair. That was right. I agree with you. Darius Butler, my guest, co-host of the Man to Man podcast, creator and host of the Everything DB show on YouTube. DB, great to have you, Darius. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you for having me back, John.
Great talking to you, Darius. I always look forward to it. You're one of the best. Darius Butler is awesome. When we come back, hour number three, Dennis Dodd will be joining me to start the hour. We'll talk some college ball with him. And then open phones the rest of the way. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.